that's out of the box or 95% debt? What do you mean by that?
Like, where do I start? Well,
are you being sarcastic or are you telling me we shouldn't ask that?
No, I really mean what I say. We
structurally.
Structurally, yeah. Structurally more than theologically. I mean, structurally, many United Methodist churches still operate with an administrative board where they'll have 30 people come together and try to make a decision. We, a long time ago, said that doesn't work. And we want to move into we want to be a church that can that a person doesn't have to be involved in ministry and go through 50 different hoops to have something done. And so we really streamline the way we do our administration. And so we have the very minimum of what the United Methodist Church, through the discipline says you have to have, like the SPR, finance, and building and grounds. But we don't have a council of ministries. We don't have an administrative board. We operate through a lead team. And the other purpose of that is in terms of using people in ministry, I don't believe people get excited about coming to a church and serving on a committee. There may be one or two people who do. But at the same time, I believe people want to be a part of a church and use their gifts and passion, and we want that to happen. And I, maybe one of these guys could speak for it, but we're still, working on the nuts and bolts, and Jeff, as our facilitator, our lead team is going to work on this for us. We want to communicate well and keep the line of communication open. this is outside the box. This is beautiful. So that's what I'm saying by that, Jane. So if a person has not been trained and has done not a whole lot of work in understanding church transformation, that would be very foreign to them. Well, my
that
hope
would be
is
one
that,
of those
yeah,
red flags.
That. Yeah.
That would be one of those red flags.
Yeah.
If the questions are asked, the direction. Mm-hmm. Going back to traditional Methodist church business, Methodist church doctrine that way, with trustees and administrative board and all those things, that hopefully that comes up in the interview process, the consultation process.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to call it the interview process.
Right. Right.
They better know right up front.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's going to be tough on that.
Yeah. Exactly.
And tough on the congregation. And we rely on you guys to make sure that doesn't happen.
You would rely correctly.
Well, one of the things that I really believe in is prayer. And I would encourage you all and to pass it on to pray for the cabinet, the bishop. The cabinet is the DS's, the bishop, and the people in the all the clergy, that the best person will be brought here to continue the vision. You know, and so, I mean, I always, and praying for the bishop and the cabinet and their discernment process, that it's, that God is part of it. Because we all know some appointments have not been the best appointments. I mean, we have friends that were appointed to churches that, how did that ever happen? And, so I believe that if we all really are praying for the person to be open to come here, and the church to be open, that, and the cabinet and the bishop to be open to creativity, that it will happen. That's what I have to trust in. So that God's movement will take place and speak to their hearts. So that to me is what I think we can do. So.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
And I guess the one thing I'm going to add is that we're not just looking for the person who's going to come in and go, okay, well, I see what you guys have been doing, and let's just kind of keep things going. We want the person who's going to come in and say, I see what you've been doing, and here's how we're going to run with it. Here's what we're doing next. We're going to take everything that Pastor Tom and this church has done for the past 10 years right. and double it, triple right. it. It's going to explode because this person will be perfect. And that's what we're praying for.
Right. Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
Never.
No. Did he say never?
No,
that's right. That's right. That's right. That's right.
On a personal note, what are your plans for retirement?
It's a good question.
What
are my plans or our plans for retirement? That Sarah gets another job so we can survive. No, but no, seriously, Mary, we really, you know, many pastors will retire and then in retired status serve a small church, and I have no desire to do that. I've been in this ministry for 41 years and loved every moment of it. Well, not every moment of it, but most of it. I really can say that. I really, you know, in talking to many of my colleagues, I have never been at a church I did not like and did not enjoy the ministry there. And God has really blessed us that way. And so I'm not leaving ministry in the local church because I don't like the local church by any means. And just looking for a different venue, sort of speak. So what God leads us to, I don't really know right now, but I know it's not into a local church. We're not moving from the area. We live in Guthriesville, so certainly we love you guys, and we want to be a part of your lives even outside the church. And, you know, we want to do that and be here in that way. So it's very open right now. It's very open. But let me just share, maybe this would help a little bit in terms of how the discernment process happened for Sarah and I. If you recall back when we set when we cast the 18-month plan, I had said then that we'd probably be retiring within the next 2 to 3 years. I think some people may have forgotten that, but but we did say that, and we said at that point, remember, we said if you want to move ahead with the vision, we'll give everything we can in that time. If not, let's make the change now. And we decided at that time, with about 73 people here, saying we want to move on. Okay. In our process, in the United Methodist Church, a pastor can retire with full benefit after 40 years of ministry or 65 years of age. I'm not quite 65 yet, but I am in my 41st year of ministry. There was a question for a long time, and these guys walked along with me on that. There was a year of service being questioned in my first year of ministry. I went in what was called then a student charge, graduated from college in May, and went in my first pulpit in June. And they weren't crediting me that first year. So as of 2014, I would have had 39.75. And when we found out that they did some research and they did credit us that year to us, that's when the decision came to the forefront for us. And you remember me saying that I would never want to ride something out just to say I got to get my 40 years in. And so when that decision was made, and it wasn't made, by the way, until we didn't find this out until December 5th. And there was no way we were going to certainly make this announcement before Christmas. So I, you know, as I said at a meeting the other night, you know, I probably gained about 20 pounds because I eat when I'm stressed. And, you know, carrying this for that long was just was just terrible, you know, because I felt a sense of being deceptive and all that kind of thing, and that was a tough go. And it's true. I've seen in my ministry many pastors who stay in 1 year too long, and they destroy a church. As good as things happen prior to their staying one that year, it destroys the church because it's just 1 year too long, and I didn't want that to happen. Secondly, you know, the needed energy to carry forth this vision, for somebody to come in, as Kevin said, with energy, with excitement, with enthusiasm. Not that I don't have some of that yet, but I'm just at the point where I know I have to push to do it. And that's not a good thing, for you, particularly, or for me. And then, the lack of skill in the technical world. We joke about this, and Kevin, I did get another phone, by the way. I don't have my flip phone anymore. So I'm progressing. But seriously, I'm a pen and pencil person, and a tablet person, and I realize we need somebody who knows that world and can run with it. I think that's really, really important, for a church in 2014. And so I think that's another reason. And then, one of the leadership tenets I always, believed in is you always make a decision from a position of strength, not weakness. And that made the decision even more difficult because I love being here and I want to see this vision continue. And so, you know, it was like, man, not now. But at the same time, I realized that, you know, we need that person to come in and take it from a position of strength. I really believe we've positioned this church in such a way that, as Kevin said, this church can double or triple in the next couple of years. And we've got a staff right now that's dynamite. And we just got to keep on keeping on and make it happen together. And then last but not least, on a personal basis, obviously wanting to spend more time with family. Our children grew up in a pastor's house, and they still say, you know, where were you? And now my grandchildren are saying that. And Simi has a basketball schedule. When I got the schedule, I can attend 4 out of 10 games. And so just to spend more time with family, with grandchildren, with Sarah, I guess. And date night, which we never did well. So those were the things that brought us to make this decision at this time. So if people ask you, hopefully you can share that with them. If they ask you, you can send them to us, and we'll share that with them as well. Okay.
I'd like to go back a little bit to what you were saying about, you know, someone coming in and following, and we're joking about a clone of Tom. I think that all of us here need everyone else's help also to understand that whenever you have transition, you are going to have change. And we have to understand that it's going to be change for the person coming in, and it's going to be some change for us also. So we would call upon all of you to help everyone else, excuse me, understand that there will be change. There may be change in order of worship. There may be change in when the pastor is in the office or how the pastor communicates with different people. We all have to understand that transformation includes change. What we're hoping is that we don't have monumental change that is undoing what we've already done. But there will be change, and if anybody doesn't understand a change, that's what SPR is all about, for one thing. And we would ask your help with that. That if you see something or hear something that we should know about,
let us know before it becomes a major issue, because we don't want that to happen. But we can't sit here and tell you that there will be no change, because transformation includes change. But we want it to be a positive change. We truly do not expect it to be a change just for the sake of change.
Thank you, Diane. That was great. I just want to make one other comment, something that Kevin had touched on with Thorndale going to this next level. Part of what we also sent up to the district superintendent and the cabinet was the ministry audit. We sent a copy of the full audit that was done several years ago, as well as the, I'll call it the abridged version. And what we did in the excerpt sent up was we highlighted what Esom said and what Esom gave us out of that report as to how to move us to that next level. And so what we did was we actually highlighted what we've already accomplished, what we are working on, still working on, out of that audit, to keep us moving forward and to keep the vision ahead of us. So I truly believe, I mean, I was involved in the process when Pastor Tom came on board with being on SPR, and we were not given that opportunity to put all this information forward to explain who we are, where we've come from over the last 10 years, the staff that we've recently hired over the last 3 to 4 years, and where we as a church believe we are still being called in this community. And as, you know, Axe said too, not only in the community of our own church and Callan Township, but into the world and beyond. So I believe that as part of the leadership in SPR here, we have really positioned ourselves to provide the information to the cabinet and the district superintendents and the bishop. And I also believe what Sarah said with, we need to pray for the boldness. And my prayer for 2014 is that through these prayers on the 14th, we will come together in unity as a church to be praying for the bishop and the cabinet, to be praying for the person, whoever that is, that's going to be selected to come to Thorndale, and also to be praying for Tom and Sarah as they transition and move forward. So I would encourage you all to be a part of that, whether you're able to get out on the 14th or whether you just take some time during the day, specifically during those days.
Thank you. I think if there are no other burning questions, just piggyback on what Diane says. If you have people come to you and say, I heard this, I heard that, send them to the right person for the real answer. Because there will be, I'm sure, a lot of meetings outside of meetings over the next couple months and misinformation given and whatever. So please send them to Jeff or Ruth is the team leader of SPR. Diane's on SPR. Debbie's on SPR. Or me. Send them to me. You know. Right. But I appreciate you staying today. And if you have a burning question, we're right here. We're not rushing out. But thank you so much. God bless us. Let's move forward.
Amen.
Amen.